Good morning. Thank you, Kurt, for those songs. I'd like to welcome all the visitors that we have with us. We have a number of visitors. We extend a very special welcome to you. Would love to have you come back and worship with us again. We're considering you our honored guest today. What a nice change of the weather. Instead of cooking us and frying us outside, woke up today and it was kind of a nice day out there. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles, or I don't know if you got an outline on your way in. We're going to be looking at Romans, the 12th chapter today. That's where our message is coming from. There's only about a dozen different sermons in this chapter, but we're going to try to just look at it as an overview today. What do they say? It's trying to pack 2 pounds of bologna in a pound package. But we're going to look at chapter 12 today. In this chapter, Paul addresses a number of different topics, such as Christian service, unity, the unity of the brethren, unity of the church, and our attitudes and our conduct. We've been talking in the Sunday morning Bible class, kind of where in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about the difference that you've got to have the right attitude to match the conduct. That if you just have the conduct without the attitude, you're a hypocrite. And Paul addresses those issues here in chapter 12 of Romans. It starts off, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Beseech is a strong word. It's he's begging you. I want to call your attention to this. You know, pay close attention to what I'm getting ready to say is what Paul is saying. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, not from me, but by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We covered the law of Moses in Preston's recent Bible class, and one of the things that we learned in that was about the topic of sacrifice and how the sacrifices were to be examined by the priests, and they had to be without blemish. Just any old sacrifice would not do. The same holds true with us. Paul is telling us we have to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Paul would talk about, and we use the scripture quite often in 1 Corinthians, dealing with the Lord's Supper, but let a man examine himself. We don't have a priest to examine us before the sacrifice. We have to examine ourselves to make sure that we are a proper sacrifice. And it has to be holy, acceptable to God. And it says, which is your reasonable service? Just any old sacrifice won't do. That's the least we could do for all that God has done for us. Sending his son to die and as a sacrifice on behalf of our sins, The least we could do is offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, not a one-time sacrifice. I started to say that would be easy to do. It wouldn't be easy to do, but it would be easier a one-time than to make a life of it. And that's what Paul is telling us, for us to be a living sacrifice. And he ends up, it's your reasonable service. It's the least we can do. Goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world. We've got to live in this world, but we don't have to be of it. While God is giving us life, we've got to be here. No question about that. We've got to be here. But we don't have to be part of it. He says, but be transformed, changed. And he explains how to do that. By the renewing of your mind. We don't have the same mindset now as Christians as we used to. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we are transformed, we're showing not only God, but others what that will of God is. Goes on to say in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. This is one of those verses, every verse in the Bible is important. Every verse in the Bible is God-breathed. If we did this verse, verse 3, it would solve a lot of our problems. To not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Does this say we should have a bad self-esteem? No. God has created us in His image. We should have a great self-esteem, but keep things in proportion. Not to think more highly than we ought to think. That old nemesis, pride. That old nemesis that rears its head up every so often and is one of our fiercest foes comes from within, our pride. Hey, Kurt, could you turn down the air? I'm noticing about three-fourths of the people doing this. The polar bear here loves it. But I'm seeing this, and I don't want you to be distracted from God's word. I love it cold. I really do. But I'm seeing everybody just shivering and, you know, turning blue. And to be sober-minded, that one of the things of transforming our mind from verse 2 is that, one, you think of yourself properly, but also to be sober-minded, to think soberly, to not have clouded thinking, to be seeing things the way God wants us to see instead of the way the world sees things. He goes on to say, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. I love that verse that Ken used in the Lord's Supper about how the body, that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And it goes on to say, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We work together. Just like our bodies have different parts. My fingers don't act as my ears. And my bones don't act as my eyes. We have different workings together, the unity of that one body in Christ. He goes on to explain the result of that. He has said in verse 5 that we have different abilities and bodies. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. The key to that, we've all got different abilities. Some of the things that you can do, I'm not very good at. But the key, let us use them. God can bless you with a tremendous amount of different gifts. But if we don't use them, if we don't exercise those abilities, what good is having them? Oh, I can do that. I could do that better than so-and-so. Then do it. I say the term love very loosely. I absolutely hated it. But when I was coaching, there was always people in the stands that could do it better. There was always some loudmouth that could second guess the coach. Here's the clipboard. Have at it. Let us use them. Whatever it is that God has blessed us with, and with whatever degree. Jesus used the parable of the talents. To one he gave a lot. To one he gave a few. The only criticism Jesus had in that parable was the person that did not do anything with it. That's the same thing Paul is saying. Let us use them. He goes on to say, let love be without hypocrisy. We talked about in the Sunday morning Bible class how Jesus was referring to the people as hypocrites. Don't do this hypocritically. And here this word comes up again by a different person, Paul. Still inspired. And he says, let love be without hypocrisy. What good is displaying love if you really don't have it? You're just putting on a big show. Goes right along with us as Christians. Oh, how I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. I'm not going to do the things he wants me to do. But, oh, I love God. God's blessed my life so much. I'm not going to obey his commands. Especially things that are inconvenient for me. Well, God, you're asking quite a bit from me here. He only gave us his son. That's all. That's all he's done for us. He's only given us a beautiful world to live in during our lives. He's only given us a way to be saved from going to hell. What was it for the first verse? Present your body as a living sacrifice. It's your reasonable service. It's the least we can do. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Hate it. When we start and you look at the world wants us as Christians to not abhor evil. Just allow it. Allow us to be like that. And then they push the limit a little farther. Not only allow it, you have to say it's okay. Don't criticize it. Don't criticize what we do as evil. You've not only allowed, but you've got to say it's okay. And then if you don't do it, you're the bad person. Paul says, abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. You cling to what is good for your life. You cling to what is good for your spiritual life. Not only love each other, but be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. With brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Paul, I love Paul's teaching. He says, don't let your love be with hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. And then he explains how to do it. How do you love somebody in brotherly love? By doing those things. Just pass that one. We better cover it. I was on a roll. I was doing okay. Paul has to throw this one in. Bless those who persecute you. Wow. It's a tough one, Paul. Bless and do not curse. It's one thing to treat those nice, our brother nice, and treat them with brotherly love. That's easy to do. But to bless those who persecute you, bless them and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Don't make it about you. Have you ever seen those people that they've got some good news and you're telling somebody and they've turned it around and now it's about them? Stealing your joy. They're joy stealers. Stop, please. They're stealing my joy. I have this great success story that I'm trying to share with somebody, and now it's about them. Same thing. Weep with those who weep. Be with them. Comfort them. Well, I had it a lot worse when somebody's telling you something. Well, you should have seen when I faced that. Again, it's turning it around to them. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Celebrate their victories with them. And when they're hurting, you be right there with them. Don't steal their thunder. It's not about you. Goes back to that. Don't think more highly of yourself. Hey, hate to tell us this, but it's not about us. I know we sometimes think it is, but it's not. Be of the same mind toward one another. Not worldly, spiritually. We don't have to have the same likes. We don't have to have the same pastimes and things like that, but have the same mind toward one another. Don't look at different people and have different standards. Holding some to one standard and others to a different one. Do not set your mind on high things. Again, going back to the being sober-minded, thinking properly. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your opinion. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Do not be wise in your opinion. Well, I think, well, what does the Bible say? What's the standard? God's word. Not my opinion. Man, if it was left up to us, we'd be batting 1,000. We're no flaws. But it's not our opinion. It's what does the Bible say? Paul has to throw these curveballs in here on us. Repay no one evil for evil. But they did this to me. Jesus, you just don't understand. This person was so ugly to me. Do you know what he did to me? And Jesus answered, no, I have no clue. I have no clue whatsoever how hurt you might be. Buck up, cupcake. Repay no one evil for evil. Isn't that, I don't know about you. That, my personality, that's my first thought. I've had to transform my mind. I have to remind myself, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. I shouldn't even want to do that. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You conduct yourself and present yourself in a way that all men see the good in you. Anybody can repay evil for evil. But look at how you'd stand out when you don't do that. Anybody could justify. They did this to me, so I'm doing it right back to them. That's what Jesus was talking about. You've heard it was said, an eye for an eye. He taught them a different way. If it is possible, and Paul understands, it's not always going to be that way. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Some people, you may not be able to. But if it's up to them, it may be, you might do everything you can. And they're still the porcupine. No matter how you approach them, some people are just like that. But if you don't get along with somebody, don't let it be because of you. That's what Paul is saying. Don't you be the problem. You may not always get along with everybody. Not everybody accepted the teachings of Jesus. Not everybody accepted the teachings of Paul. But if you don't get along with somebody, don't let it be because of you. Don't you be the cause of lack of unity. Goes on to say, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. There's a number of lessons in this verse. Don't avenge yourselves. When you start getting into the vengeance business, one, we're not John Wick. We're not the Equalizer. Man, wouldn't you love to have a neighbor like Denzel being the Equalizer? Anybody mess with you, they've got to deal with him. That'd be nice. But don't avenge yourselves. Why does Paul say that? He's not saying be a doormat to people, but don't avenge. When you start getting into the vengeance business, you're taking your eye off of the things you need to do as a Christian. And by the way, God can do it much better. Let God do it. He has demonstrated time and again that he can take care of people that do evil. If you don't think he can, ask Nadab and Abihu. Ask Pharaoh. I can get in the vengeance business. And it will be, when he does it, it will be righteous. When we do it, it's not righteous. And by doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on their heads. When you respond not in kind to them, you're taking all the wind out of their sails. They want to fight. They want a contentious situation. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Don't take vengeance. You act as a Christian, and it removes all the wind out of their sails. And it ends up this chapter. Do not be overcome by evil. but overcome evil with good. That's how, that's the result of when we transform ourselves. In the beginning of the chapter, Paul was talking about you got to transform yourselves. This is what happens when we do, that we're not overcome by evil. We overcome evil with the good. Unbelievable chapter. Like, I wasn't lying to you. There's probably a good dozen different lessons or more in that chapter. This was just kind of an overview. Take the outlines if you needed something to look over this week in your daily devotionals or whatever. Reread Romans 12. It's great words by a great man inspired by God. If we can be of service to you, Kurt's getting ready to lead us in the invitation song. If you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you've been studying God's word and realize, I haven't been baptized, I'm not saved. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the people cried out, when they realized, we killed Jesus. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter responded, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've been looking around at different congregations in town of the Lord's church and would like to worship with us, and you'd like to identify with worshiping with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation.